Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I'm excited today. You would never believe what is going on in the city of Benton Harbor, Michigan. You just won't believe it. But before I get to that, I want to talk about Berrien County Courthouse. This is a city of no return. We have several judges over there. Judge Dennis Wiley, Sterling Sherrock, Art Carter. Scott Schofield has retired. And that's good news. Then we have the Grand Wizard of the KKK, Michael Sebek. I want to talk about Sterling Sherrock. There was an incident where a white boy, only 16 years of age, told his friends that he was going to go inside his house and beat his stepdaddy to death. He said, I'm going to continue to beat him until he is dead. He said, he's in the house sleeping at this time. I'm going to creep in and not wake him up and start beating him. And he went into the house and beat his stepdaddy to death. Beat him to a pulse. His face was almost like clay. And he got to beat him. He just beat him and beat him and beat him. He died right inside the house. When they came out to arrest him, he told them, they said, why did you go inside the house and beat him like that? He said, I wanted to. Okay. So now he pled guilty. It was time for him to be sentenced. Judge Sterling Sherrock said and told him, after he told him he wanted to beat him to death, he said, prison will do you no good. He said, I'm not going to send you to prison. He gave him 5 years of probation. White kid. 5 years probation for murder. Premeditated murder. Murder in the first degree. Because he said he was going to do it. He said, that's what I was going to do. I'm going to go in here and beat my stepdaddy to a pulp. Blood all over the house, they said. I didn't see the house itself. They just showed pictures in the courtroom. But then, next come another 16-year-old boy. But this young man is black. He hit a white guy over the head and killed him. One blow. Charged him with murder. Then it was time for him to be sentenced. All of this happened on the same day. The white kid, who the judge said that prison would do him no good. The judge said prison would do this young man no good. The white kid. He done went in there, planned to beat his stepdaddy to death, kills his daddy, and said prison would do him no good. The black kid, 16, matter of fact, just made 16, goes into the courtroom, and the judge chews him out. He talked to him like he was an animal. And then he sentenced him to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Not the possibility of parole. Now he's going to have to spend the rest of his life in prison. But the white kid who went out and told the world that he was going to kill, he was going to kill his stepfather. And he told the family that prison would do this white kid no good. He don't deserve to go to prison. He can be saved, but the black kid cannot be saved. He would never, ever, ever see daylight again. It's a case we're working on. We're going to bring him back. We're going to make sure that justice is served for that young man. Oh, we understand that it's murder, and he actually did. He actually killed the white guy. But if the white kid can get probation and not go to prison and not to serve any time at all, and the black kid gets a chance to go to prison for the rest of his life, and we don't have a problem with that here in the city of Benton hopping around the country, then we got the problem. They don't. We got a problem. If we do not sit here and do something about this and about what's going on in our community, then we get what we deserve. Because most times, black people do not stand up for other black people. They ain't not going to do it. But when it's time for them, they want you to drop everything you're doing and help them. Amazing. 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 We're at war. We're at a real, real war, but we don't know it. You know. And I got to give my black brothers credit, too, now. You know, there's nothing they don't know. There's nothing they can't do. They got a solution for everything, but don't want to do nothing. They don't want to do nothing. If they can help it, they will not do a thing. It's unfortunate. But let me talk about our mayor here in Benton Harbor, Michigan. The city council has been trying to fire this guy for over a year. The mayor refused to put it on the agenda. He do have that power, but he's only one vote. He do have the power. He's supposed to do it, but they don't know how to force him to do it. But this guy, he's a thief, he's a liar, he works for Whirlpool Corporation, but get paid by the residents of Benton Harbor, been stealing money. I can say that, because it's the truth. And they can't get rid of him because Whirlpool Corporation will not let this man go because they want him to continue to rob the residents of Benton Harbor out of every dime they got. This guy's job is to bring in money to the community, bring jobs into the community. That is not going to happen because they don't want him to. As long as he's in control, as long as Whirlpool's in control, and we got this guy, Marcus Muhammad, the Muslim brother, who swore that he would take care of the people, turned out to be the biggest lie that you have ever heard. He He's a liar. You see, he thinks he wants the same thing that the former mayor, James Hightower, received. He talked about James Hightower like he was an animal. And here he gets in there to be the mayor. We put him in there. We picked him up and put him in there. But also, with the election coming up in November, we'll be ready for this guy. We're going to eliminate him. You see? But here's something that we got to change the way we fight, too. You see? We got 50 million Negroes in this country. Some say less. Some say more. I'm going to say 50 million. Do you know the power of 50 million people? That's a country. But we're so divided up. Money, money, money. Materialistic things separate us from everybody else. Somewhere along the line, we got to move self out the way and stand up for what's right. Not just for yourself, not just for your family, but for the community, for the city. We got to change. Because we're dealing with somebody. We're dealing with a monster. And they got all the aces because we're so divided up. Down in Louisiana, they had this 10-2 law. But I tell each and every one of you today, that is your fight, whether you like it or not. And the final thing, they are attacking our water system. You see, a lot of people don't quite understand. You have to have water in order to survive. They're putting all kind of chemicals inside the water. And people are dying from it and don't know it. What I mean by don't know it is that when you go to the hospital, they always say it's something. They might say it's cancer. They might say it's kidney failure. They might say it's liver failure, heart failure. But it's good. It's the water. When we tested the water, 75% of that water was full of bacteria. And then they got the new bacteria, the PFAS. It's deadly. It's killing people. It's killing people. But listen, let me bring in my first guest from Chicago, my main man, my guy, Joe Perry, my friend. I love this guy. Greatest activist I know. Joseph Perry. Perry, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Reverend.
How you feeling today?
I'm feeling great. Anytime I'm on your show, I feel fantastic. Thank you for having me today.
Oh, man, you're making me blush, man. You know I'm weak, so I don't know why you're trying to make me feel so good, because I'm feeling, after someone comes on and talk that way, I get excited myself. I must confess. But on yesterday, we had a pretty good conversation. Some of the stuff that you wrote, can we elaborate on that just a little bit? Tell my listening audience a little bit what we talked about on yesterday.
Right, yeah. It was in connection to this 10-2 law down in Louisiana that just got overturned in November. And, of course, what's going on is that through the organization, Louisiana United International, they've been able to do a lot of organizing around this, and they got it on the ballot. And for those of you who don't know, the 10-2 law just meant that whereas, it would take 12 jurors to convict you and send you to jail down in Louisiana, it only required 10 out of 12. So two people could say, no, innocent. And 10 people say, no, guilty, and guess what? You're going to jail. So it just simply means, and what it ends up being is that the roots of the law find their roots in slavery, find their roots in Jim Crow. And as a matter of fact, the people who fashioned the law said that the law, that particular law, was one of the things that was going to guarantee supremacy to white race in the state of Louisiana. These are their words, not mine, in the state of Louisiana, to the extent that it could be done constitutionally and legally. And actually, in those days, it was a 9-3 law, not a 10-2. It got changed into a 10-2 law in 1973 when the Supreme Court said that 9-3, no, that's unconstitutional, but 10-2 is constitutional. So if the states want to have 10-2, they can have it. So what's the result of it? It means that you're gonna lock all the black folks up, and that's what they said they wanted to do with it. But here's the deal. You know, it didn't come into effect until January 1st. This year, but if you got arrested back in December 31st at 11:59, guess what? You're still under that law, you know, if your trial is taking place in 2019. So what we're asking for, we're asking to either give everybody a new trial who's been convicted under this law or set them loose. And, you know, they're not going to do it. And part of what we're up against is that there's slavery. The profit, the slavery that's going on, the legalized slavery that's going on within the penitentiary. And I think what we were talking about yesterday, Rev, is that I started doing some digging. I found the 13th Amendment. 13th Amendment says that, not like what I was taught as a kid in school, and all of us were taught as a kid in school, the 13th Amendment abolished slavery. No. It says it abolished slavery except as a result of punishment for you being a crime, committing a crime. And from that day on that law was passed, you see the criminalization of blacks. But, you know, and everybody sees that. But, like, I think there's a few things that took place we didn't pay attention to. One, that it transformed slavery, kept it, but it transformed it. And it transformed it from the plantation to the penitentiary. It transformed it from strictly being African-American to anybody could be a slave. As long as you're in that penitentiary, you a slave, no matter what color you are, right? But on the basis of attacking the black, it's on that basis they can enslave everybody. Okay, that's the results of this. Also, it means that United States corporations through Wall Street, along with the United States government, became the new slave masters. You know, there's been cases all down through history where they've caught people who were enslaving folks in Alabama, Georgia, these places, had this lend-lease program going on where they had fake judges criminalizing people and locking them up. And they made the statement, you know, when the Supreme Court stepped in, if you did not, you know, have a crime associated with this person that you're enslaving, then it's against the law. And guess what? Now you're in trouble. And so I think what we have to look at is that we have to ask ourselves a question. If this is all going on right in front of our face, it's been hidden for so long. And I think it's been hidden for so long because they've taken this idea of crime and they've made such a stigma out of it, right, that, you know, oh, you're a criminal, you deserve to be a slave, right? And this has been going on. It's, we have to realize it's like what Martin Luther King said. He said that a danger, let me paraphrase him, a danger to equality or a danger to justice anywhere is a danger to justice and equality everywhere. And that's what we see is going on here. It explains why they're shooting out black folks down in the street like it's for free and, you know, way out of proportion to everybody else. It's interconnected to every aspect of life in the United States. And what it says to us is that, you know, that race is how America does class. And you know, and the shame part about it is that if you look at the majority of the people who are actually locked up in jail, the majority is actually white, even though it's, like, way out of proportion. Like, you could go to some states, show you how bad it is. Like, Iowa, there's only 3% of that population in Iowa is black. 39% of the people locked up are black. That's 13 times more than the representation of the rest of the population. But still, the majority of the people locked up are white. And we've got slavery. We've got slavery. It's a moral issue for us as America to finally abolish slavery in its last vestiges. And it's what we're up against when we want to look for justice. We're looking for justice for the folks locked up in the Parchment Farm. for the folks locked up in Angola prison down there in Louisiana and all over the country. And what we're up against is you're going up against they're making profits, super profits off of this. And you, all you have to do is Google it. You're going to find out that it's like 100 corporations involved in this. Wendy's, McDonald's, Target, Whole Foods, Victoria's Secret, United Airlines, American Air. You know, go down the list. These folks are making super profits. So you talk about getting justice for people wrongfully convicted, guess what you're up against? He's taking people making all that money. So look for a whole lot of, response to it on that basis and a whole lot of fight back to deny justice. I noticed that Louisiana is calling for a constitutional convention for next year, and my fear is they're going to do just like what they did to everybody in Michigan about the emergency manager law. It got voted out in the general election, and the following year, or even sooner than that, the legislature reestablished it and said, and you can't even vote it out no more. Well, they're going to do the same thing with 10-2 down in Louisiana. They're calling for a constitutional convention. They're circling the wagons. They're organizing, and they're going to come up with some kind of law they're going to pass, and that law is going to say we're doing 10-2 again, and, oh, yeah, people don't get to vote on it.
And you know, one of the things that's really important that people don't quite understand, you know, even though most likely those two individuals, black people need to start being trained to be on the jury so they'll know, because black people do not want to be on a jury. They would do everything within their power not to be on the jury until their turn comes. When their turn comes, then they want you to try to get as many blacks as possible on the jury. I remember when I was going to trial, it's 10-2. We usually have 12-0 down here. One of the reasons that we have it like that, because nobody wants to be on the jury. Black people, you know, because they're so intimidated by these white folks that they don't want to do what's right. You know, I'm sitting across there as a defendant, looking at everybody in the courtroom white but me. The judge is white. The person that's howling, that's doing all the typing, is white. The prosecutor is white. Law enforcement that's sitting at the table with him is white. The jury is all white. My attorney is white. And I'm black. I'm the only one black on that side of the fence, the gate. I'm the only person that's black. And there's one guy, he's a preacher. He had an opportunity of being on the jury, because it was down to it. He comes out for reason unknown. They're telling the judge and the prosecutor that me and him was friends, knowing that he don't even talk to me. Because if he spoke to me, they would blackball him. But him being a man of God, being a Christian, just outright lied. And then another case where the guy who said he spoke to me 30 years ago. I don't know what made him say that, because I don't remember speaking to him, but remember it was 30 years ago. But he said he saw me in church 30 years ago, and after he said hi to me, and that allowed him to get rid of him. Can you believe it? But he did say at the end,
absolutely,
that Reverend Pinckney is the pillow of our community, and he actually make our community go. He did say that. So they, you know, he was gone. He knew he was out of there. But the reason I say this, that we have to start training people now to want to be on the jury. I don't know how it is in Louisiana, but I tell you one thing is something that we need to look into that also. And also, we better be ready when they have that constitutional hearing, when they have it next year. We better be down there to make sure that these people don't try to overturn what's already been done.
Right. So absolutely.
I think that's one of the things. But look, I'm kind of looking forward to coming down, going down to Louisiana and rallying the people, get them, at least get them, try to get them excited as possible, that we got to move forward. And it's just the first step. You know, we know it's the first step, the very first step. And it's something that we can do, you see. And I tell you, this is going to be a tremendous opportunity for the people. And we have to make sure that we're doing all the things that we need to do. One of the things that in the People Tribune, they have another article and also have something in the People Tribune in reference to the hearing that's coming up on March 18th. If you can maybe give us a little bit insight on that before we bring on Belinda Brown. Can we encourage people to come out? If you could take about 2-3 minutes and try to encourage the people, let them know how important it is to come, and then we'll bring in Belinda Brown.
Yeah, I think Louisiana is the canary in the coal mine. It's letting you know just how bad this is. I mean, it's nationwide, but it's like awful in New Orleans, Louisiana, and a lot of those other southern states is awful. It's just bad. But, I mean, just to kind of say this, who's to say that because they would do this in Louisiana that the rest of the country has states that could pass 10-2 laws? We could end up with an entire country full of 10-2 laws, which means what? It means that from now on, you only need 10 people in order to have an all-white jury. Like you said, you're giving an example of the situation you've had, you know, where they paint you as a criminal for what, doing activism? That makes you a criminal? But they paint you as a criminal and therefore, you know, got to be locked away and subject to this slavery. The point being is this, is that everybody needs to get involved with what's going on down there in Louisiana, because guess what? It's coming your way. Okay, it's in your state. It's been there since 1865. It's been in your state. It's just been hidden. You know, it's been hidden from view. But it's going on, and it's going to get bigger, and it's going to get worse. You know, and so we have a chance, I think, to have a national, movement that will, if you will, be the second coming of the civil rights movement, finally put an end to this kind of nonsense. But this is what we're up against, and this is what, even if people can't come down to New Orleans, on there's going to be a rally, and I guess I'll leave to Belinda to go into that a little further on the specifics. I don't know all the specifics, but there's going to be a rally on Saturday. It's coming up Saturday in New Orleans, and then there's going to be the court case. They're going to hear the case of Mr. Victor, who's the lead case of all these inmates who have been convicted on the 10-2. But it's not just a Louisiana thing. This is why people need to either go down there or spread the word or get on social media and investigate this thing and spread the word, because guess what? Just like Martin Luther King said, you know, an injustice anywhere ends up being an injustice everywhere. You might as well get ahead of the curve and stop it now, right? And I want to say something, if I can, about, because it's, this thing of color, this thing of blackness and crime is so out of whack. Look how this works. They go after the black. The black is the criminal. But they end up doing the exact same thing to everybody. So, you might as well step in now and stop it. Stop it right here, right now, in its incipient, its beginning stages, before they really spread this thing out. Because the private prisons are growing. And the one of the biggest things traded on Dow Jones right now is prison and any kind of a corporate, like providing the food, providing the shoe wear, providing the clothes, whatever, providing the like AT&T. AT&T is one of the people making all kind of money off this stuff. You know, they're making fantastic amount of profits in order to enslave the population. We got to put a stop to it now. It starts in Louisiana. It starts there.
Absolutely. And if we got to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to do, we can't depend on anybody else, because most of the time when people think it don't concern them, they will not do anything. But it concerns them whether they like it or not. And it's unfortunate the way that we think. You know, a lot of times we just don't want to do nothing. We come up with, we think we know everything that is in the world. There's nothing we don't know. Accordingly, you can hold a conversation with a guy. He got all the solutions. And these old Facebook activists, these are the ones that really urge my name. And we do need some. Now, don't get me wrong, but you also got to get out here and do something, which is crucial. But thank you so much, Joe, for your insight. I really, really appreciate you. And I love you, my brother. And I hope to talk to you very, very soon. I want to bring in my good friend, Belinda Brown. You asked me again, I knock you down. Belinda Parker Brown.
That's a pick name.
What kind of name is Belinda Parker Brown? It's going down. That's all I can say.
That's
take.
A powerful name, Pastor Pickney. That's all. You know.
Me twice, because I know it's a very, very, very powerful name. And here's the good news. It's a name that I love, too. When I said Belinda Parker Brown is going down, that's all you need to know.
I'm enjoying the show. I really enjoy listening to Joe. I'm so excited that you guys are coming down here, Pastor Pickney, to Louisiana, you know, to stand with us. Louisiana is a unique place, and I'm telling you right now, the people here knows that it's shame on Louisiana and that we need all the help that we can get, Pastor Pickney. I'm so excited that you're coming. You know, Dorothy is coming with you, and I know you have been making the clarion call. There are so many others that have been checking in the hotels and calling me and making reservations to come. I'm just so excited. Joe is going to be staying with me at my house. He don't know that yet. He don't know that yet because I just found out today that he's going to come in on the 15th. That is going to be the day of the radio show that we're scheduled to go on WBOK, one of the local radio shows here, Black-owned station. Is a very powerful station in the city of New Orleans. There have been a lot of famous people that have graced this radio show, and they're very popular here for a community talk show. I'm excited about that, Pastor Pickney. It's so much,
amen.
You know, it's so much, you know, right now that's happening here. And I really feel that you guys are going to have a great time and that, you know, if it's ever been a time to come, now is that time.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. And I'm looking forward to a day that, you know, that maybe we can go in court watch somewhere down, maybe even in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
So we can get a feel of the court in New Orleans. So, you know, that's usually wherever I go, I try to make sure I at least spend at least one day inside the courtroom in whatever city I go to, because to me, I want to get a feel of how the court system actually works there, because I know how it works here. I know how it works in California. You know, I know how it works in St. Louis. I know how it works in other places. But you need to know, because it's crucial, because, you know, and remember this, all judges is not bad. I don't care where you go. You might find one or two good ones. You know, that's one or two out of 50, but that's, you know, that's better than having none. And and the way I look at it is that they don't, you know, I don't care how bad they are, they don't want their name dragged in the mud. And especially down south, they, you know, anything that got to do with a southern state, they, you know, they name mean a lot to them. And that's what I learned when I was in St. Louis. I learned how to attack the judicial system by calling out the judges, and I use that everywhere I go, because I know people, you know, they put themselves on a pedestal, even though they're doing so much harm to the people, and they don't care. But you mess with that name, you can deal with them and defeat them.
Well, you're right, Pastor Pinckney. We do have some good judges, but I'm going to tell you, we have judges that are committing crimes on the bench down here. Pastor Pinckney, they're making up their rules as they go. They don't care nothing about violating the canon. They don't care anything about putting the public outside of the court, you know, locking the doors on us down here. And I'm here to tell you, you're going to get one of the best experiences on how the courts operate down here, because you're going to be visiting the court that literally lynched Mr. Victor in plain sight. Okay? Back up in the woods, Pastor Pinckney. You're going to see it for yourself. All right? But, you know, I'm looking forward to it. It's a lot of opportunities for you to visit the courts here, because sometimes they even have courts on Saturday here when they got the ropes and the trees and everything, you know, in the courtrooms, and they getting ready to, lynch as many people as they possibly can. They want to do it while nobody is watching. They hide their heads. The hands past the Pinckney and railroad people into the courtrooms on Saturday.
They throw a rock and hide their hand. That's what they do.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, but I'm excited, Pastor Pinckney. You know, Pastor Evans, I haven't been too long, got off the phone with him. You know, I'm also excited that we got a lot of pastors that are, you know, supporting this cause. There is a possibility that I have put a message out to the mayor. We're inviting her to participate in our round table, and then also some of our state legislators that also plan to attend our round table discussion on what approach and how their support with what type of support that they can give us in this in the Unanimous Is Not Enough campaign, Pastor Pinckney. I'm here to tell you, we are ready. We are so ready. The families are ready. We do have our venue for our rally. We're calling it a community kind of like pep kickoff for the campaign. You know, we want the community to come out. We want to have an open mic so that we can give the people an opportunity for their voices to be heard. We're planning for that to go at least 3 hours long. I'm pretty sure that it's not going to be enough room in this particular church to hold everybody, but we're going to try our best to organize those people so that we can make contact and get all of the information so that, you know, we can, keep moving. We can have other events and community rallies and stuff like that to give people an opportunity to show up and participate and also support us.
Absolutely. That's tremendous, I tell you, because, like I said, this is just the first step, you know, and this would probably be one of the best recruiting tools that, you know, that you would have and be able to use the way you like it. And also, you know, we want to get people names, put their names down and phone numbers down on the list, have people sign in as they come. So when you get ready to have some, you can always call them and let them know that something is going on. And then they have the option to say, I'll be there or I won't be there, you know.
Pastor Pinckney, you know what the good thing is? The good thing is that, we've been organizing and mobilizing for quite some time. You know, we just kicked off this campaign. You know, for yourself, it's been less than 4 weeks. Since Mr. Victor hearing was continued back in February the 15th. And we have over 900 people now that have signed on to support us. And some of those, are grassroots organizations, you know, faith-based, community. We also have business community and a lot of individual support. I just got off the phone with a former judge that sit on the New Orleans, I can't remember what district he was in, but his name is Judge Morris Reed. He was also the NAACP president in New Orleans for quite some time. So, you know, he ran for mayor, and, you know, he's a very well-known figure, you know, here in the state, and that I just got off the phone with him. Actually, it's going to be his brother's church that is going to host the rally for us, Pastor Pinckney. It's just, you know, the people are ready for this. They are so ready for this opportunity to free, you know, to demand justice, to free these people, Pastor Pinckney, that have been railroaded into these godforsaken hellhole jails and prisons across this state, where they was convicted up under an unconstitutional racist Jim Crow law. It is wrong, Pastor Pinckney, and you said yourself, we're going to fight, and we, if we don't fight, we can't win. But this is one that we can win, Pastor Pinckney, because of the fact that we know we're on the right side. We are on the right side.
Amen. Amen.
And when you're on the right side, that's the Lord's side.
That's right. Amen.
And all heaven is backing us up.
That's right. And, you know, and we can't ask for no more than that. And I think this is really just a tremendous cause. And I think that it will give people the opportunity to stand up that never stood up before. And, and once they start standing up, they will continue. See, that's the thing. The hardest part is getting people to stand up. But once you get them to stand up and do what they're supposed to do, they don't have to wait until something happened to a member of their family, their son, their husband, their daughter, their sister. They can they can proceed and continue to fight. I just want to say that, you know, I hope this thing get contagious, where people all around the country just join in and say, we're not taking this crap no more. Enough is enough.
Right. Pastor Pinckney, you know, you're absolutely right, because I just spent a couple hours on the phone with Sister Empress, and you know yourself that she's a very powerful sister. You know, she's connected with the United Nations, and we were, you know, strategizing on the phone with her that this is, you know, something where she's, you know, the whole world, she's going in and, you know, we're looking for this to be an opportunity for other people to get, you know, to come in and help us expose and uncover a lot of the injustice that have taken places in other areas, not just the criminal justice system, but other areas. You know, it's so much that, you know, Katrina told the real story, Pastor Pinckney, on how bad people are being treated here in the state of Louisiana. And it's so sad, because I get, you know, right now we have over 3,000 members that have signed on to support, you know, Louisiana United organization, but it's so many other things that, you know, job discrimination, you know, lawsuits, you know, where people medical, you know, are being, people are being compromised with their doctors committing what you call it, malpractice, and, you know, malfeasance and stuff on their jobs, you know, all kinds of stuff that's going on, Pastor Pinckney.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
So I believe that you know, with the opportunity for us to tag on to this criminal, you know, the unanimous is not enough. It's going to open up the doors for people to bring, you know, expose, in other words, expose other things that have taken place in this state that are so racist and so blatant, you know, just injustice that are taking place with people.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that, you know, like I said earlier, this is the first step, because this is this is going to be a war. One of the things that my dad is from Baton Rouge. I think he was born in Baton Rouge.
Wow.
And
I
know there's some Pinckneys down there, but I really don't know them.
You know, I have a Pinckney. I was trying to think, her name is Cynthia Pinckney or something like that. You know, she's a member. She joined up with the organization about a year or so ago, and I was asking her, did she know you? So we're going to have to go back and revisit it.
Right, but you probably don't know me, but my father's name was also Edward. So that's, you know, and then his mother, name was Laura, but she married a Paxton. She became Laura Paxton. It's all on my father's mother's side. Those are his people. Some of them when my grandmother was alive, there was one of her brothers was a doctor in Baton Rouge. So I don't know. I never did follow them. I followed my mother people to Leland, Mississippi, but I didn't really follow my father people that was in Baton Rouge. So I don't know a whole lot about them, but one day I am going to take the time out, maybe go down there and see who I might know or who might know us or whatever it might be. But listen, you got about 3 seconds to say whatever you got to say, and then I got to bring in my good friend Big Yo. Go ahead.
Okay, Pastor Pinckney. Well, I just want to let the people know that it's a good time. This is a great time for us, Pastor Pinckney, and that we can make this happen if we unite together. You were talking about it earlier. You know, it's only when we all come together and stand together for this cause that we are going to win. And it don't matter, you know, because one of the challenges that we've been facing is that opposition of people that are benefiting from the way things are. But we're stronger than them, Pastor Pinckney. And I
Absolutely.
Believe that as you come and many others come, Pastor Evans, you know, there's, you know, Mr. Ralph, he's been emailing me back and forth, and I'm so excited about having them come down from, I think it's New York or Los Angeles.
Yeah,
but,
New York. I'm coming from New York.
New York,
got,
well.
You got Chairman O'Malley coming from Florida. He'll be here also. So, you know, he got a group of them. So he's a very powerful young man. He's, you know, he's known all over the world. So he's going to
yes.
be here also.
Well,
so,
well, I'm looking forward to it. I just want to say thank you so much for allowing me the opportunity to share, Pastor Pinckney, and let you know how much I appreciate you. I love you and Dorothy, and we're family, so we're going to take good care of you all when you get here. How long you going to stay?
It's
going to be...
we got this up tight.
All right, then.
We will talk very, very soon.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. That was my good friend, Belinda Brown. You asked me, Belinda Parker Brown. You asked me again, I knock you down. I tell you, we are having a great time today. We got a chance to get a lot of information in, and people are talking. Now, I want to read an article that was written about my good friend, Larry Penson Sr., a retired United States postal worker, had written a book titled Chaps. This is in the newspaper, the North Lawndale Community Newspaper, which is the community which I grew up in the city of Chicago. It talks about it's the shortest version or the initial for clockable hours application process in the pay system. Chaps is a pay system originally created by Penson for the postal workers. But Penson said it could be used across all types of the workforce, especially the military, the police, hospital, government workers, and others. Larry Penson said Joel Osteen prophesied about CHAPS in his message, Balanced Book. Even though Joel Osteen doesn't know about CHAPS, he prophesized about it. The part that Penson said relates to CHAPS is where Osteen said, God is going to give you back double, said Penson. That is one of the promises that God said he is going to fulfill. He's going to raise up a prophet among you. When the NLCN noticed that square, he attributed to the coming of Jesus Christ. He agreed, but said that other prophets were also raised among people. Penson included God gave Martin Luther King the job and the objective of equality. He also went back to say that Moses' job was to free his people. Now, Penson said he is the prophet for today. God gave him the job of providing jobs for the people. And on that note, I'm going to bring in my good friend Larry Penson. Larry Penson Sr., are you there? Talk to me.
I'm here, Lil Ed. I'm here, man. Yeah, I'm here.
How you doing?
Okay,
Larry. I haven't heard your voice in a while, but you know what? I gotta confess. You know, I kind of miss you. You know, and but you know, we've been busy. But let's do what we got to do. You got about
right.
10 minutes to tell the world what you want them to know, and I'm gonna let you
okay.
just go. You tell us.
Oh, okay. All right. Here we go. Okay. God said that he wanted everybody to work 1 week and be off 3 weeks and 1 day within 1 week. I know that sounds crazy to some people, you know, say, what is this dude talking about, you know? But you got to go to my website. It's PensonSenior.com. And look at all my blogs that I got on the website. And look at the current events, you know, that article that you just read, it's on my website now. Now, what my job is, I want people to read Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18 to 22. Read that. Once you read that and you understand that, you're going to know who Larry Pinson Sr. is. Okay. I want you to read Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Now, you're going to know how God feel about you. And then you're going to know how we are in this situation, because we all have turned our back on God. He tells you in that Bible verse, he turned his back on you and your children. But he sent, or he gave me the knowledge to write chapters. And so the purpose is that God created everybody equal, meaning with 168 hours. Every individual have 168 hours. And then you have to add value to your hours. If you are a floor sweeper, you know, back in the day when Dr. Martin Luther King, he spoke on jobs. And you know what he used to add? He said, if you're a floor sweeper, the lowest, I'm not trying to demean nobody because we need floor sweepers, you know. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to demean nobody. I'm talking about it is a job. You know, a job means that you are doing a duty or you're doing a task that is needed. Now, I know it's a whole lot of maids have to sweep the floor. So that's the lowest thing. So that's the, anybody you think is supposed to sweep the floor. But he said, be the best that you can be in all these jobs. So now, once you, it's five different caps pay system in that book, five different systems. And so it's up to the individual to understand what pay system he's in. Is he in the military, part-time military, full-time civilian bargaining unit chap, part-time civilian bargaining unit chap, and a salary chap? It's up to them. They had to figure it out. But, you know, the book will help them tremendously, and they need the book to get on my level to understand it, because there's a lot of things in the book that a lot of people don't understand and really don't care. You know, they say, oh, I get a paycheck every 2 weeks and I'm happy, you know. But if you work for the United States Post Office, you're not getting a paycheck every 2 weeks. You know, that's the problem with that. There's a lot of things, it's a myth in the United States Post Office. For instance, they don't know, they think they work one calendar year for their pay. No, they don't. It's three fiscal years and one calendar year for a total of 8,320 hours. Now, the post office is very slick. You know, they will bamboozle you. You heard that word before? Malcolm X? You know, you're a hoodwink. You know, and that's what the post office, the government have done. The government is behind all this stuff. They ain't thinking about this. So just think about that. Back in the day, when they had that racist film, and they had Ku Klux Klan talking about a black man that raped a white woman, and she'd have thrown herself off a cliff. Somebody, she'd rather die than be raped by a black man. And you got a white man dressed up in blackface. And guess what? If you look and you see all those Klansmen coming out of that Capitol, the White House, They're still in there. So we got to get them out. How we get them out, Larry? You know, another thing, you need to look at Ava DuVernay documentary, 13th. Ava DuVernay documentary, 13th. It's about 90 minutes. It's long, but it going to put you on the right path. And so I'm saying that. So God wants you to have your own 168 hours. And what you do, you own those hours. So now, if you own your own hours, that means that you don't have to pay no taxes no more for a certain job, for a lot of jobs. See, every job that's in the government, in the state government, the city government, you have to pay taxes to support those jobs. Oh, you know what, Ed, I say, ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. We got the gun now. We got checks.
That's right.
We got checks now. You know, so every individual. So now we're going to stop. You know, so, but Linda, you can stop saying that we are paying our taxes for these crooked correctional officers down there in Louisiana, and they're making a profit. If they're in a cash pay system, they would have to work 10 hours a week for this year's salary, 10 hours a week to pay for their benefits, 10 hours a week to pay for a stipend pay, and 10 hours a week to pay for the next year's salary. So in other words, when they get through pay every year, every quarter, they had to put that money back and back and back. So now the taxpayers would not have to pay for those crooked judges, I mean the crooked cops, because they're going to have to use their own money. Right now, they're using the taxpayers' money, and guess what? They don't care, and they shoot us down. Shoot, this is one kid in the back 9 different times and for a total of 16 times. The other bullets went through his front, I guess. But they don't care because, you know, what did he get? 4 years punishment? And then the police officers that collaborated with him, well, they got off scot-free, making false accusations. But then, just look, Ed, this is where the fun come in at. If they put in the child pay system, and they get a double salary, they got to give that money back. So now the taxpayers do not have to pay for that money. So guess what? And the police, Chicago Police Department, they got the highest overtime rate in the city. You know, and it's no overtime in the tax pay system. So you're going to eliminate all overtime. It's going to be eliminated. You got to get the book, and I say what I'm talking about. I know I say, oh, you talk to a crazy man. Now, I deserve overtime. No, you don't. There ain't no such thing as overtime in the child pay system. God said he wants you to work that certain way. And then once you work, you got your own hours. And then you got to add value to your hours. If you are a floor sweeper, it's $15 an hour. Your unskilled labor, $15 an hour, hands down. And then if you are airline pilot, a police officer, a nurse, whatever, you know, you get your yearly salary. But guess what? You work your yearly salary, and you had to work 2,080 hours for your yearly salary. That's taxable. You had to work 2,080 hours to pay for all your benefits. That's non-taxable. 2,080 hours to pay for a stipend pay. That's non-taxable. And 2,080 hours to pay for your next year's salary. You're putting it back every quarter. You're putting it back. So now the taxpayers would not have to pay for your salary no more. And now the taxpayer, really the service that they're going to get is debt-free. Jesus Christ, he taught debt-free. Now, and hold it now. He healed the sick debt-free. But listen to the preachers now. Preachers, stop using the money that you get in your tithes and offerings for your salary. Put yourself in a cash pay system. Get the book and understand it. If you had to borrow the money from the bank, get that and set up a cash pay system in your church. That means whoever going to get paid, yourself, pay yourself whatever you want. And then whoever else getting paid in that church, you put it down, and then you get that loan, and then you have the congregation to pay on that loan until they pay it off. And then once they pay it off, then they gotta You don't have to jump in the pulpit no more. Where's my tithes and offerings? But you got it, your own self. Because you preach, get free.
My good friend, Big Yo, we have just ran out of time.
Take my phone down there with you, little Ed, and show it to him.
I will do that. I will make sure that I take your book down there so people can see it and they can understand exactly where you're coming from. On that note, we'll talk next week, same time.